We've been looking at the seven churches in Asia Minor recently. Today we'll be looking at the church in Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6, the church of Sardis. This will be the church that's the Lord said was dead. Can you imagine going to a church that's dead? Sometimes I hear people say, well, that church is dead. We look at a church in chapter 2 at Ephesus that they didn't love the Lord like they should. The Lord rebuked them about that. And then we looked at the church at Smyrna. That church was pleasing the Lord, but they were undergoing a lot of persecution and suffering. And even Satan was in on it, was putting some of them in prison and was going to kill some of them. But that church pleased the Lord. It was a little church. But it was pleasing the Lord. He had no reproof to offer to that little church. Then we went to look at Pergamos, the church that was a heretical church. It had false teaching there. And the Lord had reproof for that church that they needed to repent of things that was going on there. Worshiping idols that was influencing many in the congregation of that church. Wednesday night, I taught on the church at Thyatira. And this church was a church that the Lord spoke out against a woman that was taking charge of that church. And he called her to repent. And she failed to repent. God says, well, I'm going to judge you. And I'm going to judge those that commit fornication with you. Now today, we're going to be looking in the third chapter at the church at Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, and the angel, Bible scholars, the word angel there can mean messenger, and most conservative Bible scholars think that that's referring to the pastor of the church that each one of these letters is sent to. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven stars are the seven pastors that in chapter 1 are in the hand of the Lord. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Let that sink in. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I shall not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Here's a church that's dead, Jesus said. and it's another small church. These churches that Jesus is sending these letters to, Jesus never spoke about how large they were. He never commented on, well, y'all are a big congregation and I'm thrilled about it. He never mentioned size. What Christ was looking at was condition, spiritual condition of each one of those congregations of people. Now, some Bible scholars, and it really kind of sounds logical, say these seven churches are representative churches. Not only were they these seven kind of churches in the first century, and they were operating and worshiping as they were then, but they represent how during the church age the state of the church would be. For an example, the church at Ephesus would be a church from right after Jesus died and the church came into existence in AD 30. It would be the church from 30 to 314 AD. So nearly 300 years, and as those years progress, the love for the Lord diminished. People began loving the Lord, excited about the Lord, but as time went along, it diminished. And then when you come to the church of Smyrna, this represents the period of from 314 AD to 590, when there was a period of time when the church was faithful. And then from Pergamos to Thyatira was from 314 from 590 to 1000. I think that's the way I got my numbers here. And then from Thyatira to today, our message is up to 1500. And during the 1500s, in that time period, the church was in the Dark Ages because Catholicism had enveloped Christianity. And that's what we're going to be kindly focusing on a little bit today. Sardis was a wealthy city. It had been one of the most powerful cities in the ancient world due to the heavy trade among the Aegean islands. Gold and silver coins were first minted in Sardis. The city also claimed to have discovered the art of dyeing wool. Sardis was also known for its impressive necropolis or cemetery with hundreds of burial mounds. Sardis had declined, however, by the time of the Roman Empire. Their influence had diminished. And Sardis had at one time requested the honor of building a temple to Caesar, but they were refused, and the honor was given to Smyrna, the city of Smyrna. The wealth of the city eventually led to moral decays, and that's what's happened to this country. Materialism, wealth, has ruined this country. And it ruins people. Back when the Depression hit this country, people were more spiritual. People realized they needed someone greater than themselves. Back when we come along, even in the late 30s, there was not programs as such to take care of families. You had to get out and hustle. And there was not the crime that we have today. In Robeson County, with how notorious crime is today, people didn't lock their doors back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. They left the key. Thank you. They left the keys in the car.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All the time, night and day. On Sunday, when you went to church, about every house, most every house, they were going to church somewhere. Most of them. But we begin to become a wealthy country. And people begin to get automobiles. Mule and wagons were disappeared off the highways. People got automobiles. They begin to travel. But many wasn't traveling to church. They were going other places. And it's picked up. Materialism. Sardis represents the Protestant church during the period between A.D. 1517 and approximately 1800. It began when the Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses unto the chapel door at the church at Wittenberg, Germany. Martin Luther was a Catholic. But one day he was reading Romans and Galatians about being justified by faith, and boy, a light went off in his heart and mind. Justified by faith? That's not what he's been hearing from the Catholics. And it's true. The only way that anybody is ever right with God is by faith in Jesus Christ, period. And Martin Luther discovered this great truth, and this is what started the Reformation. He might have lost his life because of it, too. And many did. Many were burned at the stake. Catholicism has put many a true born-again believer to death. And if it weren't for the laws of this country here, they'd still be doing it. In an era which started with the Reformation takes us to the beginning of the great missionary movement in the history of the church. In our day, the ruins of the temple of Clybel and also the temple of Apollos can still be seen, but they're in shambles. Clybel was also known as Diana in Ephesus. She was the goddess of the moon, and Apollo was the god of the sun. They were brother and sister in their way of thinking. In Revelation 3:1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, the Lord says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. The seven spirits of the Lord are mentioned in Isaiah 11 and verse 2, which reads, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about the coming Messiah, folks, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11 and 2. The seven stars are the seven pastors of the seven churches that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 1. You know what the church needs today, folks? Just like it did back then, the church needs the Spirit of God working in it once again. I hate to say this, but I believe it's true. God's Spirit's not working in the churches today. we're in too big a hurry to serve, to worship the Lord. Our churches have become religious centers. The focus on Christ is seemingly missing. Why aren't people being saved today? The church today is not a praying church. It's not a Christ-loving church. It's not a worshiping church. Today's modern churches are entertainment centers. Something to pacify the people without offending anybody. People rush to church and rush out like we've done our duty now. We don't come to church just to praise the Lord and worship the Lord. There's a little bit more to it than that. We come to church and we need to be in church for ourselves. The Lord don't need your worship, but you need to worship the Lord. The Lord desires our worship. And I tell you one thing, if you get to heaven, you are going to worship.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You're going to worship if you get there. And you won't be in a hurry to leave. Instead of us being in Christ's schedule, we make Christ fit our schedule, don't we, today? Instead of being in Christ's schedule, we make Christ to fit our schedule. Lord, I have time for you, but only this much time. Folks, we need to see ourselves before God. That little article I put in the news, in the bulletin today, I put it on Facebook also. God sees us as vile. But we see us as important. And deserving. That's not what this book says, folks. We've become so materialistic, we see ourselves as somebody important. Now, I'm not saying we're not important to the Lord. We are. But I'm trying to keep it in the context. We need to have a reset and pause and take an. The Bible says, "Examine yourself."
Yes,
examine yourself.
Yes,
how is it with you and the Lord, really? And like we discussed in the Sunday school lesson this morning. You'll see how spiritual you are when somebody pulls out in front of you. That's how spiritual we are. Churches think they need methods. And we have all kind of programs just to keep the believers going to church. We used to have a lot of churches had ball games. Now it's trips. Got a big bus. We're going on a trip. Churches sell donuts, have bake sales, car washes, sell barbecue plates to pay the church's bills. This is going on in so many churches today. Churches have concerts, singings, dramas, seminars, revival, all to keep something going on. So they keep people coming to church. I need to come to church just to worship the Lord. I need to come to church just because this Bible is true and I need to know more about what God wants out of me and what His plan is. I like to hear good preaching like I heard Bill Monroe this morning and Dr. David Jeremiah. Boy, he had a good one today. About Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Russia coming down on Israel and going to get 86% or 88% of their whole armies wiped out at one time by God Himself. God's going to do it Himself. I want to hear preaching that's teaching me something about what my Lord is going to do for somebody that didn't deserve it, like me. What do we really need to do is to get to the person of Christ, who only the Holy Spirit can make real and living to us. That's what we need today. I need to feed my soul. I was out here cutting grass the other day, and I was just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. Directly, I had another thought. Do you know what I thought was? I said, Rainbow, you know what you've been thinking all morning? You've just been thinking about the Lord all morning. You ever thought about the Lord all morning and catch yourself thinking about the Lord all morning? I like to just keep my mind on the Lord. In the dark ages, the Holy Spirit was still in the world doing His work. And He moved in the hearts of men like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and many others. And the result was the Protestant churches came into existence. Y'all know what a Protestant church is? The Protestant churches are the Lutheran, the Wesleyan, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Episcopalians. That's your Protestant churches. They're children of Catholicism, folks. And at one time, they were preaching the Word of God. They broke off from Catholicism, and they were preaching the Word of God. And people by the thousands was getting saved because the truth of the gospel had been recovered. Salvation by faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ was beginning to be taught again when the Reformation came into existence. These churches began to teach the Word of God that had been mostly lost because of Catholicism with her dogmas about the Pope and Mary. I believe it was Wednesday night I said something about I was going through the channels and I came to the Catholic channel. And they had this woman there with a big old bonnet on her head. Remember when women used to have big old bonnets on their heads? This woman had something like that. Elderly lady. She was talking to her, trying to justify why she was talking about Mary, the mother of the Lord. And I sat there and listened a while. And I weren't delighting in a thing I was hearing, because she never did mention Jesus. But it was all about Mary, how important Mary was. Dogmas about Mary and the Pope. Oh, he's infallible when he makes a certain statement. Can I say something? Hogwash. These churches begin to teach the Word of God after they broke out of Catholicism. The Protestants recovered the authority of God's Word and the total depravity of man. Man is a totally depraved creature. He can't help himself. He don't even want to help himself. If the Holy Spirit don't arrest somebody and convict somebody and draw somebody, they'll be satisfied to live a life without Christ. Sadly today, most of them have declined to rituals, ceremonies, and liberal religious formality again. These Protestant churches, they got women preachers. They got gay preachers. They got a social gospel. It's sad, folks. It's sad. I know thy works, the Lord said to the church at Sardis. Thou has a name that thou livest. Oh, everybody's talking about what a great church you are. But the Lord said, you're dead. You know, everything yellow is not gold, folks. Everything yellow is not gold. Is there anything sadder than what Jesus told this church? I wonder, what would Jesus say about us if he came? What do you think Jesus would say about Country Bible Baptists? Because he's going to look at us as a group of people that's assembled here that comes here on Sundays and Wednesdays. What would the Lord say about us? I know what you're doing as a church, and you think you're doing great, but you're mistaken, God said to the church at Sardis. You're not what you think you are. And we might not be as spiritual as we think we are, had we? How many believers today think they're doing okay as a believer? And the Lord is satisfied with you. Anybody feel like you're doing okay? How many churches do you suppose that are filled with people who think they are really pleasing the Lord today? When they're hooping and a hollering, and some of them are running and a jumping the pews. Some of them are wallowing on the floors having a fit. Seriously. How many think they're really pleasing the Lord? I'm afraid that the thing that is missing in most of our churches is we really don't love the Lord like we should. I keep asking the Lord, Lord, help me to love you. I just don't feel like I love him enough. And I keep, Lord, help me to love you. Do you think you love the Lord enough? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say to do. The church program is being carried out at Sardis. And they're so excited about it. Oh, you ought to come to our church at Sardis. We got a lot of wealth here. A lot of prominent people here. Oh, by the way, the Lord's not in it. The Lord's not in it. The Lord said it was dead. Be watchful, Jesus said to that church, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. The Lord says there's a few things are trying to go on, but if you don't be careful, you're going to lose that too. You know, I've been around a long time. And I can see people's eyes. And I know before they leave, they're going to leave. I see it. Why do people leave? They've not surrendered. They're not committed. They're not really in love with the Lord. Are you, be honest, really in love with the Lord today? Are you really in love with the Lord today? Is the Lord really the one who is your Lord today? What comes before the Lord with you today? What comes before Him? I'm not going to get a promotion with this kind of preaching, am I? Jesus tells this church at Sardis, you need to wake up and take care of the things that going on there that's about to die. Y'all have just about council prayer meeting, he said. Amen? Why don't we care about the things of the Lord, church? Why don't the Church of America care about the things of the Lord instead of they're having church to care about the things what they want in the church? Does that make sense? I'm looking for me a church where they do this and that. That's what I want. Well, blow me down. I don't hear anybody talk about looking for a church where they're really preaching. Let me challenge everyone here today. Are you about dried up spiritually? Are you about dried up? You need the Holy Spirit to breathe down into your soul new vitality and life. Amen. Think about it. You need the breath of the Lord down in your soul today to revive you. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know in what hour I will come upon thee. Jesus said to the church at Sardis. He said, y'all not pleasing me at that church. Oh, y'all pleasing yourself. Y'all had a good time. Y'all just go it on like you want to go on, but the Lord says, you're dead. Dead to me. Jesus said, if you don't repent, though, I'm going to come judge you. By the way, that church is gone. And today, what is sad that once Christ-honoring churches have lost their zeal for the Lord and have gotten away from the truth once established by the Reformation. Where is the Methodists that used to preach hellfire brimstone preachers at today? And the Presbyterians. Where they at? I don't even know of a one. In 1961, a survey was taken in a mainline Protestant seminaries. Here's what they found in 1961 with these Protestant churches I've just called out. 54% of those ministers in those seminaries did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was in 61. 56% of those mainline Protestant seminaries, the ministers, rejected the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about back in 61. I mean, that's when we were very spiritual people, weren't it? 71% of them rejected life after death. Can you imagine a minister standing before you and he don't even believe there's life after death and you're paying him an awesome salary? Hey, those guys in 61 are the ones in the pulpit now, old men. And 98% of them reject that there'll be a personal return of Christ to the earth. 98% of them. This church at Sardis represents those churches. Those kind of churches. They've just got religion. And we're so important. You ought to come be in our first church. Amen. Today we see social gospel, which is a watered down, easy to please the crowd, and along with the prosperity theology preaching. Tell the people about how God wants to bless you. Well, God does want to bless you, but He wants you to have something besides dollars and cents. He wants you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior, folks. That's what God's concern is. Matthew chapter 6. He says, I'll take care of your needs, but what we need is spirituality. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior. We need to have a love in our heart for the Savior and a love for people. The Lord says to the church of Sardis, don't you go to sleep, wake up and watch out, because He could come at any moment. You know what? I expect every day of my life, this is no joke, I'm serious as a heart attack. I expect the Lord any second. And I can just visualize what's going to happen the second He appears. What's going to be left behind. I bet you these churches, there won't be a soul lifted out. If it was to happen right now, would you be lifted? Would you be lifted? Have you been justified by faith? Folks, now's the time to get serious. Now's the time to be right. Because it could happen before I get this sentence out of my mouth. Thou hast a few names in Sardis, the Lord finally says. There's a few folks there. You've not defiled your garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Revelation 3:4. Praise God. God's always got a people. God's always got a few. God ought to have everybody because of who he is and what he's done. But the truth be, there's just a few. The good news is this. You can be one of the few. You can be one of the few. It's up to us to choose who we will serve. As in most churches and denominations, there is always a small number who serve the Lord. Just a small number. You serve the Lord by being a good housewife, a good husband, doing your job for your employer to the best of your ability. You serve the Lord by how you treat your neighbor. You serve the Lord by how you love the Lord. Serving the Lord is not getting up here like I'm now, or teaching the lesson. That's not serving the Lord per se. Serving the Lord is who you are and how you live. Amen? Serving the Lord is by faith. Doing what he says. Putting his priorities first. When we going to ever learn? You can't get by when the Lord's not first. I found out the hard way myself many years ago. I still keep kicking myself for my stupidity. How do you be so stupid when you know better? How do you be so stupid when you know better? But you do. The system of Romanism and the system of Protestantism, as they are revealed in the great denominations which have departed from the faith, are the organizations which will eventually, listen to this, they're going to eventually bring in the apostate church because they have departed from the great doctrines of the Christian faith. You see, there's going to be an apostate church left behind when the rapture takes place. And like I said a while ago, there'll probably be churches that want a soul be taken out. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. You know, this is going to be something that's going to be so good. One day Jesus is going to say to the Father, Father, this is so and so. They trusted me to be their Savior. This is so-and-so, Father. They believed in me. They live for me, Father. That's going to happen, folks. I'm talking about something that's real, folks. Something down the road. Folks, it's on the calendar. It's coming. We better not be playing church today. We better not be playing church. There are two important books mentioned in the Bible. Two books. There's the book of Adam. Everybody's name is in the book of Adam. What does that mean, preacher? That means you're going to die. Adam died. You're in Adam's book. You're going to die. It's appointed. Then there's another book. It's the book of life. This book has the names of all the saved written down. Those who are going to go to heaven. Well, how did I get my name in that book? Repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior in your heart. And there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. And you can't get in there because of your mama or your daddy or the preacher or the Pope. Only you can get your name in that book by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To be clothed in white means to be set apart for God, cleansed from sin. Do you want to be cleansed from sin? Only Jesus can cleanse us. Make us morally and spiritually pure. Only Jesus can take away that defilement. Revelation mentions white robes several times because they're for the saints of the Lord. We're going to wear white robes. I can't wear white much here. I just have a problem wearing white because when I put on something white, I get something black on it. I got some white pants at home. I dare not wear them. And if I take my coat off, this white shirt will get it too. But there, our garment won't get spoiled with it, brother. When we get to heaven, our garments won't get spoiled anymore. Praise the Lord. The white garment symbolizes the purity that comes when one has been washed in the blood of Christ. Only Christ can make us pure. Only those who have allowed Christ to cleanse them from their sins and clothe them in white robes are going to be able to reign with him. The book of life refers to that heavenly register of those who've accepted the salvation of Christ. It's a free gift. It's available to all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. One day Christ will announce to the host of heaven that the believers, they belong to him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, and I close, if anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before my Father in heaven. Boy, that's going to be something when the Lord introduces us to the Father. Isn't that going to be something? Folks, love the Lord. Put the Lord first in your life. You're cheating yourself if you don't. Let the Lord be your life. Don't let the things of this life draw you away from the one that loves you so much. Get into this old book. Believe what you read. Lord, 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 take these remarks. Oh, Lord, I wish I knew how to proclaim your word better, Lord. Challenge our people here, Lord. Encourage, Lord. Lord, show us how we can do better, Lord, for your glory and the good of mankind. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Lord, speak to hearts today. You respond as God deals with you. God sends His Spirit to talk to us, to teach us, to encourage us, to challenge us. Anybody would trust the Lord today, the Lord would save them today.